anxious, aren't you, Jasmine?
Anxious. Too tired.
You gotta get this Friday started. That's what we do.
Jasmine jumped the gate, as we say in the horse racing business.
Are you into horse racing? You and Eddie O?
Yeah, we own a couple of horses together, Eddie Olchek and I.
And who's the other guy? The news guy, former Ron Majors.
Ron Majors is also in the game, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Do you like riding horses?
Yes.
They're too big.
Yes. I did actually take horse riding lessons for 2 years.
Your
which
mom
is very
tried
strange.
Everything with you, didn't she?
Oh, there was no downtime when I was a kid. We had lessons of some sort every day, all throughout the year.
To see what would stick, and yeah. Tennis did.
Tennis is the one that did. Did you also, or did your mom put you through lessons and classes and things?
No, I wanted to do it. I did softball and basketball and volleyball, mm-hmm. and I took tennis lessons, believe it
you
or not.
You did too. You did too. The horse riding lessons were interesting because I enjoyed much of it. I liked to go fast. Like every once in a while,
that's so you.
They would take us out on trails. And we could go really, really fast.
What's this moseying stuff?
Yeah, I had no time for slow horse riding. And I even said to one of the horse instructors, from now on, let's just go fast all the time. And he goes, well, that's much of horse riding is slow. But I didn't want that part.
Yeah, I took horseback riding lessons with my sister. She had always wanted to do it, and she talked me into it.
Yeah.
And this is when I found out I was pregnant with Michael, so 19 years ago. And I said, yeah, doctor said I can't do it because I was really afraid. That's a long fall.
You know what? It is a long fall. I've never been involved in one.
Nor have I.
But it is.
But I quit. My sister stuck with it and then ended up buying a horse. She has a horse.
A strange twist at the end there. The other part that was a deterrent for me is the stable smell. God awful. Just horrible.
Oh, that's a sweet smell.
No, Steve, it's not.
Horse manure is a sweet manure.
Said no one ever.
It's not,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, you ever drive by different farms, you can tell what kind of farms they are by the
smell of
the manure.
That's a cow farm, cattle farm.
You can do that, absolutely.
I didn't grow up in Manuka or wherever you grew
up, Mantino. Right. Hogs, no, you don't want to do a hog one.
I've heard that pigs are the cleanest of all animals.
Well, they don't smell so.
Oh. And you know why they roll around in the mud?
Because they can?
No. To prevent sunburn. They use it as a sunscreen.
Oh, I didn't know. Wow.
Learned that at Brookfield Zoo when I was on the motor safari giving tours.
That's a crazy fun fact that you would think would have evaporated from your head but never did.
The weird stuff that comes up.
No, I know. I know that. So if they could have just masked that smell, because that was the part I used to dread. I couldn't wait to actually get on the horse and to go very fast.
But you had to go in the barn to get on the horse or bring the horse out.
Right. I still remember there was one horse named Sergeant Pepper. This was at Midlothian Stables. And he was the handsomest of the horses.
Ah.
And I equated that with going fast. I just assumed by looking at him he could also go fast because he was handsome.
He was the stud.
Yeah, he was. And they told me of Sergeant Pepper, that horse is crazy. And I still don't know what that means in the world of horses. Like, they wouldn't put anybody on him. They go, that guy's crazy.
But they put you on him?
No, they wouldn't.
Oh, I'm sorry.
They wouldn't.
Okay.
You could just see, because they had their names on a small wooden plaque outside of each of the stables. And I was a Beatles fan, so I went, he's handsome, he's got a Beatles song name, that's the horse for me to ride. And they just said, you don't want Sergeant Pepper. No.
Do you ever, like, just in the middle of the night, sit straight up in bed and relive your seventh grade or something?
I know. I would like to be a fly in your brain.
Well, it's
for
the same
a little
fly
while.
From the stables because of all the horse manure smells. That's the ones that are on my brain right now.
Oh, my God. You are just one unique individual.
Oh, well, thanks.
Remember, the red was light, and then we waited.
I'm just worried about this zombie deer stuff.
Oh, that's gonna end the world, Wendy.
Dude,
so get ready.
3 hours ago, WGN TV News, experts are warning this deadly disease is affecting deer in 24 states, 2 Canadian provinces.
I know the name is a attention grabber when you hear zombie deer. But what it doesn't mean that deer. Our traditional zombies are things that have died and then come back from the dead. That's not what it is.
According to this guy from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, his quote is: "If Stephen King could write an infectious disease novel, he would write about prions like this.
Uh-oh.
It's considered a prion disease, a family of rare progressive neurodegenerative disorders that affect both humans and animals. So within years, it will likely be in humans. This is the state of emergency.
I don't think this was addressed at all in the speech today.
No.
The president's still talking.
Oh, so it may come up.
It could come up.
It may come up. So why are they referring to it as a zombie disease? What is happening that makes it zombie-like?
Let me tell
There's
you.
A particular zombosis that sets in, Bill.
Yeah. Is that true?
Zombosis?
I don't know if that's true.
Also called chronic wasting disease.
Yeah.
That was me on a weekend in high school.
Well, that's been around for a while.
Yes, it affects. Chronic
wasting. Did it involve cattle for a while, I think?
Like mad cow?
Yeah.
I think this might be different. This affects deer, elk, reindeer, sick of deer, and moose.
I'm sick of deer. This time of the year I am.
Well, think about it. For deer hunters who eat the meat,
yeah.
Not good.
So just by ingesting it, that's what would make you susceptible to it,
I'm
right?
Not
is
sure.
Eating it.
They haven't told us yet. It'll take over a year before an infected animal develops symptoms. You want to hear the symptoms?
I don't know.
Drastic weight loss, which is wasting.
Uh-huh.
Stumbling, listlessness, and other neurologic symptoms. It can affect animals of all ages. Some infected animals may die without ever developing the disease. It's fatal to animals, no treatments or vaccines.
Oh, no.
No reported cases of this in people. However, animal studies suggest that it poses a risk to some types of non-human primates like monkeys that eat the meat. So, yeah, if you kill this deer and eat the meat, Ted Nugent, look out.
He should be on a watch list right now.
Wango Tango. Way worse.
Way worse. Far worse.
Cat scratch fever. Even worse
right.
than that.
It is worse than that. Well, please keep us posted, Wendy. Monitor this.
I will.
Because I don't want it. I don't want the mad deer disease or the zombie deer disease.
It's just scary.
But I don't know why they're referring to it. I still don't know the zombie part. Because
they're listless. They walk around. They can't.
Oh,
they stumble.
So they look like zombies,
like a zombie.
But they don't have the main zombie characteristic, which is returning from the dead.
And eating brains.
And eating the brains.
Yeah, that part's been left out.
That's good. 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 All right, we'll take a break. We'll cover more with you next. It's Bill and it's Wendy on WGN. I don't know how we started talking about this, but we did somehow. When I was a kid, I took horseback riding lessons. I enjoyed it a great deal, but the smell was just too much for me. So then it was mentioned by, I think by Steve, that for some, that is a very pleasant aroma. I didn't believe
smell.
It.
It's a sweet smell, yeah.
But we're getting texts that agree with you, Steve.
Yeah,
we're getting several texts from people who say it absolutely is.
Steve is absolutely right about the sweet smell.
Hmm. Not me.
It doesn't really offend me. I mean, you notice it.
It's funny, Bill, because I think that would bring you, well, it does bring you back to the spot, but I guess in a bad way.
Can I tell you, I took lessons there for 2 years when I was in sixth grade and seventh grade, and then I hadn't been back to stables of any kind in years. Oh, no, that's not true. Well, on a vacation or two, we went horseback riding.
We're on the air.
Oh, we're on the air now?
Right. And you're talking out loud.
So my niece had a birthday party at the stables that I took horseback riding classes at, and I hadn't been there since I was in grade school. And I was about 300 yards from the place because you park kind of off campus there.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as I got out of my car and that smell was there again, it affected me in a very negative way. As much as I liked the lessons, that knowing that for an hour that's what you would be smelling.
You don't get used to
pleasant.
It?
Not pleasant, no.
I got used to it so quickly.
No.
219 says, I wondered why when I smelled manure as an adult, it triggered a good feeling. It dawned on me, it was because when I was a little kid, the first house I lived in as a child was across from a farm.
All right, I could see where that would work.
Really?
But not for me. It has a very negative effect for me. And I would think for most people, but the texts are showing otherwise.
To each his own.
Right.
I mean, really.
Right. I guess.
And we were talking about the zombie deer, and someone incorrectly has texted us, and I need to draw attention to Henry. Only the zombies in the movie The Return of the Living Dead ate brains exclusively.
Mm-mm.
That is not true.
Almost any time you see zombies in a movie, in a TV show, in a music video, they have a thirst for brains, which doesn't make sense because you would think whatever food you liked in real life, like I would be like a Pop-Tart zombie. I would want Pop-Tarts. I would be dragging around just going Pop-Tart like that.
But when they ran out of Pop-Tarts, which inevitably they would,
I wouldn't
then do you go to
brain? No.
You would just die?
Oh, I would go down the list of other foods that I like.
Again, I see Bill popping out of bed.
I know.
Lifting his eye mask and saying, I'd be a Pop-Tart zombie.
Yeah. What other grown man has said the phrase, I'd be a Pop-Tart zombie other than me?
And then he goes back to sleep.
I don't, yeah, immediately. Immediately.
I'm telling you, I am so lucky to work with you.
Well,
on a daily basis.
Mutually. All right. On to some unpleasant business.
Uh-oh.
Since you and I last spoke, there have been some story changes in the Jesse Smollett story. What's going on there? I cannot figure out for the life of me what exactly happened that night. Can you?
No, but well, here, if I could just say one thing, Jesse Smollett, I had not heard of him before this. I hate to doubt anyone who was attacked.
Right.
I really, my God, if you report something.
There's an update this morning just before you guys get too far ahead of yourselves.
Okay. Right, and now ABC News.
Let me know. No, wait a sec, no. Police are saying that the two people are being questioned again today,
mm-hmm.
and in their first statement, the police said directly that these two are considered potential suspects.
I thought just persons of interest.
Well, that's why I'm jumping in, but this is later. That's why
okay,
That's okay. And now the Associated Press is reporting, and this I have not seen this directly from police. We're trying to get it, but they are now considered actual suspects in this attack.
Okay, and these are two Nigerian brothers. One of them has been an extra on Empire. And ABC7 was reporting yesterday that this was a staged attack because Jesse Smollett was worried about his role being eliminated on the show. So that sounded weird to me. Then Police Superintendent Eddie Johnson came on and said that there's no facts. That's not true at this point.
But it was still, even after he said that, though, it was still reported by ABC7.
Yes, it was.
ABC7.
And there was one other, was it CBS 2 as well? I'm not sure. But my question is, ABC is not going to report some. I know you try to be the first to report something. Dean was talking about this with Steve this morning. But I don't feel like ABC would risk their reputation by throwing out erroneous information. They got some sources.
Sure, of course.
So, I mean, I don't want to doubt anyone. If someone was attacked, find the perps and take care of it. It's a shame. But the plot has thickened.
We might finally get some answers today. There's some hints that there might be a police briefing later in the day or even this evening, so we'll see. But it looks as if they're moving toward declaring these two guys, well, they have declared them potential suspects in another report saying that they are suspects.
But look at, all right, this comes from the ex-gambler in me. Look at the odds. Look at the sheer odds of a guy being attacked who's an actor on a television show by another guy who was an actor on that same television show, not so much a regular like one of them is. He was just a day player on the show. But still, the odds of that are infinitesimal. It doesn't make sense.
Well, and there were racial things being said, too. These are two black individuals. So that's kind of different.
Steve, what were you going to say?
It does make sense. I mean, most assaults are among people who know each other. Most attacks are. So, you know, our assumption early on was that this was a random attack or an attack of people who didn't actually know him. Maybe we don't know exactly what led to the attack, but it's not surprising that, you know, if two people get into an altercation, they know each other beforehand.
He's not going to be asked back on Empire.
Because such a small slice of people are involved with the television show Empire, it would be like if you were attacked, Steve, after work, and then we find out that it was Dave Schwann.
Again, Schwanny?
Yes.
Yeah, but he would want the prime news spot, there's a reason.
I think what you're saying, Wendy, is so then there are new questions about what was allegedly said during the attack or of the motivation behind the attack.
Yes.
There, I understand that, but it's not surprising to me that he might have known or had a run-in with this guy before if it wasn't random, obviously.
And Steve, remind me, did he say at the time of the attack or soon thereafter the attack that he could only make out the features of one person? He said something to the effect of he couldn't tell one of the person's facial features because they were wearing a mask and it was a cold night. That was like one of those below zero nights. So a ski mask at that point didn't seem out of the ordinary. You know,
There's been so much back and forth, Bill. I don't want to say until I'm not sure.
Track. All right. Yeah.
Yeah, and there, the game of telephone, you know, how things get distorted and diluted as it goes on. There were some people saying, you know, oh, well, I thought they were wearing MAGA hats. That was never said. Right. They claimed this is MAGA country, but they
weren't wearing hats that indicated that.
But it just it just keeps getting more diluted and strange.
Very strange.
And I hate to say I don't believe people. Because, I mean, really, we should... I learned from that smirking kid from the Covington School that we shouldn't rush to judgment. The news should be reported, and we should wait. But it's really hard to wait.
But what aggravates that is that from time to time, there are certain crimes that are reported or incidents that are reported, and then you find out a week or two later that that person, for various reasons, made it up. So the argument that comes in with this guy is he had too much to lose. Why would he make it up? He's a TV star. He's got a bunch of stuff going on show business-wise. It would only come back to bite him if he was making this up. But at this point, we don't know. It's strange. You would think never in a million years would a guy just think that up in his head and follow through. So all you can do is wait and see.
The last time I had a weird feeling about something was Officer Joe Glinowitz. Remember? I had told you off the air.
Yeah.
They were searching for people who had allegedly killed him. And I'm like, I don't know. It sounds like suicide.
And
it was.
Yeah.
I just, I want to trust people. You know me, I'm too trusting sometimes.
Yes.
But this seemed a little...
I'll pay you back. I told you I'll pay you back. Come on, what's $20,000 among friends? All right, we'll take a quick break. And then
that's
there's
why
a lot
I
of
will
show.
Attack you.
That's why. There's all kinds of things on today's show. Stay here. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. Steve, thanks. Hi, it's Bill. It's Wendy. Welcome to the show. We're at 312-981-7200 if you want to call us or text us anytime during the show or a minute and 30 seconds after the show. We stick around sometimes. A little bit of background needs to be told before we divulge this, but you and I were at a meeting the other day with one of our sponsors, one of our very fine sponsors, and he was telling you and me a story about how he decided a short time ago to get a celebrity to represent him in his, for his online presence. So he said there's this website called Cameo where you visit the website and they have a long list of celebrities of all different kinds, sports figures,
YouTubers,
actors, YouTube, you name it. They're famous
Why
for a thousand different reasons. Well, he said, he goes, you guys should really be on this. And I said, I've never heard of Cameo. I don't know what it is. And he said, essentially what it is, and it proves that everybody has their price. He said, you see the celebrity, they have a box, and then it says who that celebrity is, just in case you don't know, or your casting agent for Dancing with the Stars. And then he said, and then there's a price there, and if you meet their price, they will make a short video for you and say pretty much anything you want them to say.
We talk about this company a lot on the
Business
Lunch.
Have you really?
Oh, yeah. It's a real star.
Oh, it's become huge.
Yeah. And, I mean, it's getting a lot of funding, venture capital money behind it. And I do a lot of birthday wishes for people. I get
What's your price?
$7.95.
See, now that's a steal.
$7.95?
Yes.
All right.
What's your
no
point?
No one would pay him $795.
It's a buyer's market, Wendy. You don't know. Well, I had never heard of this. I have since researched it. Everything Steve just said is amazing to me that you can get a... Now, I want to point out, he also said that there are some celebrities that are very discerning. Like,
sure,
you know, with some, you just go, here, I need you to say this. And then you pay them their $100 and they say it. But other celebrities will turn stuff down. They'll go, nah, that's not something I'm comfortable saying.
They had some trouble at the end of last year. And I don't want to make too much of it because it wasn't their fault, really. But there were white supremacists who were working in sort of... couched language or, you know, hidden language and having celebrities record it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And but I think, you know, they've worked to clean that up. They just were unaware of it.
Because this, kind of related, someone texted us and said, what does MAGA stand for? Everybody's talking about this and I don't know what it means. And I was ready to text them back and put Make America Great Again. And I was worried someone was going to copy and paste and put that on my social media and said, this is a quote from Wendy Snyder.
Oh, interesting.
Because, I mean, people are out there trying to make others look bad.
Yeah.
I'd be scared.
Back when I was doing stand-up, Jeff Garlin, who we all know from his appearances in TV shows, was a house MC at Zany's. And Jeff used to say all the time, boy, every time I'm the MC here, people inundate me saying, hey, it's my brother's birthday. Can you wish him a happy birthday when we're on stage? It's our anniversary. Could you say? So he goes, from now on, I charge people $50 and whatever they want me to say, I'll say. And I laughed and I go, really? He goes, I make about an extra 150 or 200 bucks a night. He goes, all I have to do is say, hey, happy anniversary to the Greenwalds. Nothing but the best. He goes, I pocket 150 bucks, 200 bucks a night. It's not bad.
He was ahead of the curve.
That was seriously, that was an early adapter to this sort of thing.
Well, it's a very social media. I mean, just think of it that, you know, if you wanted Brett Favre to wish your Packer fan a happy
birthday, he's on the list,
by
the way.
He's one of the bigger names on the list.
Yeah.
But some of the people that are on the list, do you remember Rex Smith? You take my breath away.
Yeah.
Who would pay 50 bucks to have Rex Smith say happy? I think, do that for you.
I think that's hilarious. You know, if you knew some girl who was a huge Rex Smith fan in the 70s for
right.
50 bucks to have him say, hey, Tiffany, happy birthday.
He
was in Pirates of Penzance, I think, wasn't he?
He was an actor as well.
Yeah. So here's the master list. There's no way we'll go through all of these.
I think we should take the whole show to do it because I can't believe this.
And the prices. Some, like once we establish a basis for who they are. Like, you just mentioned Rex Smith, who is no longer a household name, but at one point was pretty prominent. And what did you say he was charging? 50 bucks?
50 bucks.
All right, so once you establish a marketplace, Brett Favre, who Steve mentioned, is on there much, much higher, as you'd imagine. But I'll go through some of these with you.
How much is Brett? 500 bucks.
$500. That's, you know,
that is not something I'd spend, but if you were a huge Brett Favre fan.
Let's say you're a gigantic Packers fan, you enjoyed him forever. I know $500 is definitely a lot of money, but think about the thrill that somebody would get to see Brett Favre saying your name. That, you know, and wishing you a happy birthday. That's amazing, right? All right. So these are all over the place. There's no rhyme or reason for who these people are, but they're all celebrities and they're all on Cameo, and they all will, for a price, say happy birthday to you or tell whatever you want them to tell. Perez Hilton, the blogger.
I love his
gossip blogger Perez Hilton, charges $28.
That is so funny. I might actually
very affordable
do that.
Andy Dick, $99.
Andy Dick should pay people $99 to get his name out there. I know you went to school with them.
I went to college with Andy Dick.
Interesting chat.
He charged me $99 to go to college with him.
Well, inflation, he hasn't upped it very much.
No, he's remained very constant. you may have to help me with this one because I'm not sure who it is. It's Chumley, but it's not Tennessee Tuxedo's Chumley.
Oh,
it's
he's from Pawn Stars, the show that I used to watch, where they're a pawn shop basically.
Yeah, what does he do on there?
He's one of the dudes on there. Although I thought he had some legal issues.
Oh well, this will help. Chumley will say happy anniversary to you for $65.
I might do that for Jimmy Mack. We watch Pawn Stars together.
What would the other Chumley charge? More or less, do you think?
I don't know, Tennessee.
What, Steve?
I was just going to say, Wendy's become a fan now. You like the idea.
Right. I do, kind of.
Chumley won you over. Carson Kressley, one of the guys from Queer Eye for the Straight Guy.
Oh, I remember him. I loved that
$59.
Show. That's it?
Less than Chumley.
Hmm.
Yeah, that's what I would do if I was a big-time celebrity. I'd go, what is Chumley's rate? And then I would adjust accordingly. Gilbert Gottfried.
Oh, boy. My son Michael is enamored with him. I would spend maybe a couple hundred.
It's $150 to have Gilbert Gottfried say something about you in a message on this website.
Although,
that's affordable for Gilbert Gottfried,
I would
think. Let's
make a list of some of these people, Jasmine, and when we have him on the air, can we just do it for free? Gilbert, say this.
Right. Lance Bass, one of your favorite members of NSYNC, charges $199.
I have no favorite member of NSYNC, by the way.
It's hard to pick a favorite, isn't it?
No, none of them. He's $199.
Yeah. Yeah. Sean Astin, who you and I have had on our show, very, very nice man. He charges $150.
That's too high.
To say whatever you want.
To borrow a line from you.
It is too high. Ice-T.
I love him.
The actor and rapper, not the refreshing soft drink, charges $150.
He could go more.
I think he could go more, too. Now, here's a name you may not recognize until I tell you who it is, and then you go, of course, Kate Flannery.
Don't know.
She would be the red-haired woman on The Office.
Meredith?
Meredith, yes.
How much? I love her. She's with Jane Lynch all the time doing the Christmas thing.
Yeah, they do a singing duo. $100 to have Kate Flannery say something about you.
That's totally worth it.
That seems all right. Bethany Frankel.
Don't care.
TV entrepreneur.
Skinny girl Margarita, annoying. Yeah. Yeah. Remember she wore her daughter's little Hello Kitty shirt or something,
right?
Pajamas.
And was until recently dating Cameron from Modern Family. Did you know that?
What?
It's true.
Oh my God, you are Rona Barrett.
I'm the new Rona Barrett, Wendy. Which is why my price just went from $1.50 to $2. Because I'm the new Rona Barrett. Bethany Frankel charges $250. Now, for a woman who's honestly involved in so many things and making money everywhere she turns, you think, is that even worth it for her for $250?
My feeling is that's why she's charging so much more than other people, because, you know, if they're willing to pay it, okay, I'll take the time. But I can't imagine she's getting a lot of people.
I don't know. I wonder.
She's worth, I'd pay a dollar.
We have more, a dollar's your price for Bethany Frankel. We have more of these celebrities and what they charge. You can get them to say pretty much anything you want on cameo.com. We'll look at the price list next. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. It's Bill F. It's Wendy Snyder. Is your 13-year-old about to have a bar mitzvah and you want Isaac from the Love Boat to wish him a happy manhood?
He's on there?
You can.
What's his name?
I use that as an example. Ted Lang.
Oh, I bet he's on there.
I don't know if he... I can't find him on there.
Did you search him?
Not yet.
Who are you looking for?
I'm on the main list.
Ted
Lang, L-A-N-G-E. So here's the premise over at cameo.com. You hook up with celebrities, you pay their asking price, and then they wish somebody a happy birthday, happy graduation, you name it, they'll say it for their asking price. The asking prices are all over the board. Brian Baumgartner, also a cast member from The Office. He was Kevin.
Oh, I'd pay a lot of money. Well, can you do this? That's the worst Kevin, but I don't
know. Now, what would you charge to be Kevin on camera? Let's say
$50.
Let's say the actor is too busy and they go,
$50.
We got Wendy in the bullpen. You charge $50, about a third of what Brian Baumgartner would charge. His castmate, Kate Flannery, Meredith from The Office, charges $100, but Brian charges $145.
So I wonder how much business they get, though, because...
Very good question.
Like I said, the money's behind it. People think it's a really good idea.
Yeah.
But if you're one of those guys...
I wonder if at some point, Steve, you have like a sale. Like, let's say you establish a price and nobody's talking to you.
Yeah. Valentine's Day sale.
Yeah.
President's Day sale.
I would do that all the time. I would always run a special. Hal Sparks, do you remember Hal Sparks? Chicago comedian who was on The Soup for a while. He was the host of that before Joel McHale. What else was he on? He was on a show on Showtime or HBO for a bit.
Okay, so not a big, huge celebrity.
Not a
How
huge
much
name.
Is he charging?
Only $25.
By the way, Ted Lang is not on Cameo, but I can tweet at Ted Lang to join Cameo.
Oh. Do that.
Get him in there.
Wendy, as this concept was being described to you and me the other day at this business meeting, I kiddingly said, so if you wanted Corey Feldman to just write you a message, and we all laughed, Corey Feldman is on here, surprisingly.
How much?
His asking price, $122.
A little steep.
Do you think so? For Corey Feldman?
Yeah. I thought he'd do it for free. Don't you love Lisa Loeb?
I do like Lisa
She's
Loeb.
On here, $50.
Oh, that's a bargain. That's a huge bargain. Brett Favre, who was mentioned earlier by Steve, that's $500. That's the highest one we've seen so far.
See, it's interesting to me that these guys would spend, that they don't have enough money.
Right.
That
right.
This would be appealing to them.
Right.
I mean, for me, I would do it for $150, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, I've never had a sitcom or it was a movie star or things like that.
But, Steve, do they have to go, like, do they go into a studio and record these? Or does somebody just hold up a phone and they do it that way?
I think they hold up their own phone.
Yeah, they hold up their
do
phone.
It that way.
That's my understanding.
But. I'm looking at the musicians because that's what I'm more into. And there's really no one. Rex Smith, Tommy Lee from Motley Crue is $300.
That's about what I would imagine him to be.
I would expect him to ask more.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Drake Bell, who we've had on the show, musician and actor, he's at $200.
That's too much.
Bam Margera, who's the only celebrity other than Bam Bam with the name Bam in
From
his name.
J.A.
From?
Jack.
Yes.
That's where he's from.
Yes.
J.A. I don't want to say it, jackass.
He's at $65.
That's it.
One of the guys from Shark Tank, Kevin O'Leary. Do you know who he is?
No.
Balding guy, mid-50s. He charges $999.
Wow.
Now, he's a guy that makes money all day, every day. Much like Bethany Frankel, he's an entrepreneur who just has, he's involved in so many things that all he has to do is blink and he makes money. Why would he even bother with this for $999? Is that even worth his minute?
Because I don't think anyone's really going to pay it. It's there, and if someone will, it's worth it.
This is the one, Wendy. Now, my birthday's not till November. But please consider this. Ruth Buzzy.
She is on there?
Ruth Buzzy's on here. What would you pay Ruth Buzzy to give a message of your choice?
I'd pay her $100.
She's at $150. And I don't know if there's any wiggle room with Ruth Buzzy.
I'm sure she wiggles.
It's her safety net.
Think about the person who turned their radio on just at that moment.
So I wonder now if maybe Cameo is paying some of these people to be on the roster.
Possibly.
And that's why they're available, too.
That's a great idea, because then they get more name recognition, because you could go, look, we got Brett Favre and
Ruth
Buzzy. Joey Lawrence is on here.
Which is really sad, because he was on Celebrity Big Brother, and he looks really weird and doesn't look good. And then he's on Cameo for only $150. What has the world come to when a Joey Lawrence...
He should be in the 300 range.
Yeah, he's 150, Bill.
Roquan Smith, Wendy?
What about Rokan? I'm sure he's on here.
Is on here.
$5 million.
$5 million, but there's a coupon. So that's, you save money actually with this. Roquan Smith of the Chicago Bears charges only $85. That's not bad.
That's too much.
Pauly Shore will pay you $300.
Just to get some exposure.
That one makes me sad. Every part of that makes me sad.
Dee Snider from Twisted Sister, only $150.
A bargain.
It is.
At twice the price.
I'll tell you, if you look at the musician page, it's Slim Pickens, and he's not on here.
Why isn't Slim Pickens on here?
I pay a lot.
Miss Slim.
Me too.
Dr. Drew.
Oh, yeah, Loveline.
From Loveline. Who said, oh, yeah.
Pam Jones.
That was me. You guys have got me into this now. I'm totally not looking at traffic now.
Dr. Drew will charge you just $98 to say happy birthday to a loved one.
I loved him.
I don't think I want him saying anything to anybody I know. Isn't that kind of indicative that they got a problem?
Yes. Although he has a show now, right? A television show? Because I liked him better when he and Adam Carolla just did Loveline.
Yeah. Mm. That was our best Dr. Drew. Yeah.
I like the addiction shows. I'm sorry.
What about Jeremy Roenick?
All right, I might pay.
Former Blackhawk great Jeremy Roenick charges $200 for a message. Is that too high? Do you think it is? He's Jeremy Roenick.
I know, but...
He inspired a song.
Jeremy Roenick, yeah, from Pearl Jam, right?
Yeah, he inspired Pearl Jam. Jim O'Hare, who you and I have had on the show, another Chicago. There's a lot of Chicago influences in this. Did you notice that?
Well, let's book them, have them say a message, a generic one.
Get a cut.
Yeah, no, we can have just a generic one, and then we can edit in the people's names, and then we can sell them for just $1 less.
So we would get Jim O'Hare in here, and we'd say, hey, can you do us a favor? Go into the side studio, and here's 500 names. Just say these names.
We'll just say, happy birthday. He could do it, and we could edit in the names.
Oh,
they'd never notice.
That's brilliant. Let me give you one.
Clutch Cargo moves.
Exactly.
Horencio.
Clutch Cargo's not on here, Steve. I looked for him. Right. I'll give you one more. Ryan Lochte.
Oh, he was on Celebrity Big Brother also.
Was he doing it from jail, or where is he doing it from?
He's not in jail.
No, not yet.
Being in the Big Brother house with Anthony Scaramucci was much like jail.
It's just like being in jail. Ryan Lochte will charge you $132. Or some edibles. It's up to you. You make the call.
Hey, Wendy, just saw on Cameo you can get Ozzie Guillen to wish you a happy birthday.
Oh.
I would pay a lot for that.
Yeah, I would.
I got to look
that's
up how
right?
much he
That's
is.
Not bad. Ed Asner's $100.
That's it?
That's cool.
That's
it
really cool.
Really cool.
That he should charge more.
Kim Richards. Now we're a reality TV star, back when we were kids, that was Prudence from Nanny and the Professor. She's $75.
You're the only one who would...
That's right.
Yeah,
that's,
I don't know.
That's my reference point for her. Gary Busey.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, no.
He'd forget to pay you or forget to take your money.
I thought he was no longer with us or something.
No, he's around.
I fell for it.
He was never with us. That's true. He's been on the same planet as us, but he's never really with us.
Not really.
Gary Busey is $375.
Ooh, uh-uh.
No. No.
Good luck.
No. All right, let's
Jamar Moore, not on the list. I'm following Kathy.
Why isn't
he
in there?
Go put him on here because he is all over the place calling people. There's Baby Girl.
From SWAT?
Yeah, from Criminal Minds and Young and the Restless.
Yeah.
I have a picture with him, Pam.
A what?
Yeah. Oh, I met him last year.
I don't like you. Okay, sorry. I'm done. Wow.
I found Ozzie Guillen, but I can't find his price. It's you know, book a cameo from Ozzie Guillen. This video is for me, someone else. You got to pick one.
No price listed.
I can't find it.
Let's break for news and then more show. Stay here. It's Bill and it's Wendy, WGN. Steve, thanks so much. It's Bill Left and it's Wendy Snyder. We're at 312-981-7200 should you need to reach us at any point during the show. Right now, though, our guest is Alexander Zalbin. He's the managing editor of Decider.com. Alex comes on and we talk about TV. That's what we're doing right now. Alex, thanks for being here. Everything good?
Oh, my fault. I'm
talking with you guys.
There you are.
Can I just tell you, Alexander, when we first started talking to you, I felt like, I've kind of given up on TV. There's nothing good. Now there's absolutely way too much to watch.
Well, I'm doing what I can. You know, I get a little bit of money from each of the TV networks, so I throw it to you guys, and hopefully it comes back to me.
It all pays off. Alex,
exactly.
I know you. We all talked about this show briefly a couple of weeks ago, but I have to tell you, there's a show on called Russian Doll, right?
I've heard about it.
All right, two of my friends are watching this. One of them said, best thing that he has seen all year on TV. The other said, I can't stand another second of this thing. Please, stop showing this. Why is it so divided, Russian Doll?
You know, it's interesting. It's not, I didn't expect it to be divided when I watched it. And for those who don't watch it, the general idea, it stars Natasha Lyonne, and you might know from Orange is the New Black and many, many other things. She plays a lady who is at her birthday party, dies after her birthday party, and wakes up back at her birthday party. So it's sort of a Groundhog's Day thing. At a birthday party is where it starts, but it veers off there over the course of the 8 episodes, gets very trippy, very strange, much deeper. I don't want to spoil any of the surprises. Personally, I loved it, but after I watched it, I turned to my wife and I said, hey, I want to tell my parents about this because I think this is funny. And they said, oh, they're going to hate it. And I think the reason has to do with Natasha Lyonne's portrayal, which is very quirky, very strange. It's a little bit Andrew Dice Clay. It's very New York to it. So if you're not into what she's doing, I don't think you're going to totally like the show. But I thought it was fantastic. I think her delivery is so funny and so interesting. The show has so much to say, both about the history of New York, about these characters, about how you live your life. And in a very weird way, it actually is one of the best, again, without getting into spoilers, video game shows that's ever been made. That's a little bit of a tease for you. But if you're into that stuff, you should check it out as well.
Are you going to watch it? Because I am.
I can't wait to see it. It's very strange, though. Every once in a while, a show will come along that you watch and you love, and then you say to yourself, I love this, but I don't know who I can recommend it to because they'll think that I'm a goof just for liking it so much, you know?
Well, one other thing that I will say about it, it's 8 actual TV-length episodes, which is very nice. They're all about 24, 25 minutes long or so, so it's not the Netflix bloat that people are used to.
Yeah.
So it's pretty easy to get into, but it does take a while to slowly reveal what the story is actually about. I was into it, again, pretty much from the beginning, but I certainly felt by about episode 3, okay, how are they going to sustain this Groundhog Day premise over the course of 8 episodes? But trust me when I say that they get there. You know, again, I don't feel like it was one of those Netflix shows where it's, all right, it really gets going at episode 6. But if you are feeling ambivalent, I definitely recommend watching at least through episode 4.
All right.
One of my friends posted something on Facebook saying, watch Russian Doll. Don't look into it. Don't research it. Just turn it on.
Let it happen.
And you know who she's dating, by the way, Natasha Lyonne? I did not know this till recently, and she's been with him for the last 3 years. Fred Armisen.
Really?
And I love him.
Wow, that's quite
There's
a couple.
A gossip for
Very
you.
Very strange couple. Again, the show is called Russian Doll, and you can see it on Netflix. Some people love it, some people a little bit less. All right. There's big news in the world of streaming your favorite TV shows. Alex, please explain.
Sure. We've been talking a lot about the upcoming streaming services. You know, everybody has Netflix. Most people, or a lot of people, have Hulu and Prime Video. But there's a ton more that are entering the space. And there's been smaller services for a while. But by the end of this year, there's going to be at least three enormous entries, which are Apple TV, Disney Plus, and Warner Media Service, which is Warner Brothers and their associated properties, though we don't have an official name for that yet. Now, over the next couple of months, a bunch of news about news dropped recently is essentially what happened. Apple is doing huge stars on their TV shows. Jennifer Aniston, Reese Witherspoon, other people of that level are launching shows. And we're going to get our first look at an event on March 25th. Though the service itself, whatever they're doing with these TV shows, may not start until the end of the year. Pretty soon after that, Disney Plus is having a big event on April 11th, and their lineup sounds insane. We already know a lot about it, but they're having the first ever completely original live-action Star Wars TV show with a bevy of stars in it. It's run by Jon Favreau, so you know there's already a level of quality there. They're also doing Marvel shows featuring Tom Hiddleston's Loki and Elizabeth Olsen's Scarlet Witch, plus a lot of other Disney properties. So they're going in really big. Again, it's not going to launch until the end of the year, but going into March and April, we're going to get a lot of announcements. And then the third one, the Warner Media, which, again, we don't know a lot about right now, but at a recent press event called the Television Critics Association, they started teasing some stuff that made people totally freak out. Specifically, they thought, oh, wouldn't it be interesting if we got Friends? Now, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, but Friends was on Netflix. Netflix paid an insane amount of money. I believe it was around $100 million to keep it over the course of the year. But what Warner may want to do is take that, their CW superhero shows, all the other properties that they have, then throw it onto their service to make them a very robust legacy content there, even if we don't know what their original content is going to be. So to sum it up, you have these three very big services coming by the end of the year, and we don't know exactly how, we don't know exactly when, but it certainly seems like by the end of the year there's going to be a major change in the streaming landscape.
How does that affect exclusivity in terms of like Disney movies coming to services like HBO or Showtime? Would that stop? Like anytime a new Disney movie came out, would it just automatically go to this service?
Pretty much. I mean, specifically in terms of streaming more than anything, you know, I'm not going to say that Avengers isn't going to air on a broadcast network or anything like that.
Yeah.
They'll probably still keep those rights going. But very specifically, Captain Marvel, which is coming out in about a month now, is going to be the first movie that does not go to Netflix. It's going to go directly to Disney Plus, which is the Disney service. So going forward, if you want to stream those movies with any sort of consistency, Disney Plus is going to be the way to do it.
You know, you mentioned that Star Wars live action show, and April 11th is the big day. That's when Star Wars Celebration is coming here to Chicago, April 11th through the 15th. So pretty exciting tie-in there.
Yeah, those couple of days, everybody is going to be looking at Chicago, I think, because they're going to be announcing this Disney Plus stuff. They're probably going to be revealing at least the title, if not a trailer, for Star Wars Episode 9. So that should be pretty huge for Disney fans all around.
We're going to go to that big Star Wars museum here in town and watch it from there. It's going to be exciting.
Oh, wait. Although my husband does a Star Wars podcast, Rebel Force Radio, and they are going to be having a party that people can go and watch the Star. I mean, come on, it's in Chicago.
Right.
It's perfect for
it
him.
It worked out nicely. All right, we'll take a little bit of a break and then more TV talk with Alex Zelbin, the managing editor of Decider.com. Questions or comments at 312-981-7200. Bill and Wendy on WGN, along with our guest, Alex Zelbin, managing editor of Decider.com. We're talking TV. If you have any questions or comments, 312-981-7200. It's the second season for Killing Eve, right around the corner, sometime in April. That's the show that Sandra Oh is the star of, right?
Yeah, that's correct. It's Sandra Oh and Jodie Comer, who I believe she was on The Spanish Princess, or one of those shows on Starz.
Mm-hmm.
And it's based on a series of books. The first season aired on BBC America last year. Second season's coming back April 7th. And they dropped a trailer for the next season yesterday for Valentine's Day. And it looks fantastic. If you didn't check out the first season, it's a very twisted, very funny, very dark, almost, it's kind of a spy show. Sandra Oh plays a MI6 operative trying to track down a assassin killer played by Jodie Comer. But they form almost a twisted obsession romance with each other that's a little hard to define. It comes from Phoebe Waller-Bridge, who does a show called Fleabag, or you might remember as the robot from Solo, the Star Wars movie. It's fantastic. It got all the Critics Awards, got tons of nominations for Sandra Oh. Cannot wait for the second season. It looks just as twisted and just as dark.
So right now, just the trailer is out, but April 7th is the debut, right?
That's correct.
All right.
Do you watch that, Bill?
I've not. I want to see it. They kept showing clips of it at the Emmy Awards, and she won for it, and it looks very interesting. A lot of Kelsey Grammer news. First, he has a new show on Fox, but then he also hinted that you may see him back as Frasier.
So the first of all, there's the show on Fox, Proven Innocent, which premieres tonight. I'm going to look up at 9 p.m. on Fox. This is a dueling lawyer show from Danny Strong, who works on Empire. It also starts Rachelle Lefebvre. I never know how to pronounce her name, from the Twilight series, or at least briefly from the Twilight series and Under the Dome. And she basically plays a social justice warriors type warrior taking on the DA, who's played by Kelsey Grammer. He was actually recast. It was originally Brian D'Arcy James, and he was thrown into the role. So it should be interesting to see where it goes. To be honest, I watched the first episode, and I did not love it.
Oh.
But if you're a fan of law shows, it's quick, it's fun, there's some dark stuff. So it's a fine turn on the TV, check it out, and then check out type thing.
But what do you make of the Frasier return?
I actually hadn't read about any recent news on that. Was this him talking about it maybe showing up on Netflix?
He wasn't specific on where it would be. He just said that there's been a lot of interest, and it looks like they're planning something. So it was just enough.
That's something that they've been talking about for a while. I think it comes up in every interview with Kelsey Grammer because people are so interested in it.
Yeah.
And he is always shown interest back. He, you know, wants to look for the right story, the right writers, the right time, but it's certainly something they're up for. And if they did take it to Netflix, that would make a lot of sense. But frankly, given Will and Grace came back on NBC, I could also see it ending up there for a limited series or something like that.
On the Super Bowl, Alex, there was a quick commercial for the new version of The Twilight Zone. I know we're still a little ways away from it, but it's going to be on CBS All Access, I think, right?
Yeah, that's correct. It's coming out April 1st, and man, that ad was so good. I think a lot of people did not know that was coming. You know, there's generations of fans of The Twilight Zone who are eager for new tales. The thing that's very exciting, as you saw from the ad, is it's from Jordan Peele, who late of Key and Peele, probably at this point more known for his horror work, and from Monkey Paw Productions, which is doing a ton of stuff. And they have an insane lineup for the episodes. They're doing a remake of Nightmare on 30,000 Feet. It's called Nightmare on 30,000 Feet, so a Nightmare at 20,000 Feet. They have John Cho is in it, Kumail Nanjiani, Greg Kinnear, Ike Barinholtz, Rhea Seehorn from Better Call Saul. I could go on and on and on, but they're really, really stacking the show. The one thing that I will mention for those who don't have CBS All Access is they broadcast things weekly versus being able to binge the whole season at once.
Yeah.
So don't expect it to be a Black Mirror-type binge rewatch every episode. Instead, it'll parse out over a couple of episodes.
You know, everybody, of course, remembers the original Twilight Zone. It's one of the best TV shows ever. But they remade it in the 80s for a little while. I think only a season, maybe two. And there were some great episodes there.
It wasn't bad, yeah.
I loved it. It was
so good. I'm such a fan.
Yeah. This is good news.
Yeah, it's a concept that just keeps on trucking on. And reportedly, we don't, again, know a lot about the actual plots, but it seems like Peele, true to form, is going to be delving a bit into race relations, more topical issues, which is something that the Twilight Zone really took on back in the day. So it'll be exciting to see it in a modern way.
I read somewhere George Clooney is returning to television with an adaptation of Catch-22. That seems pretty interesting. It's going to be a Hulu series set in World War II, aiming to tell a timeless story about the insanity of war.
Oh,
doesn't
wow.
that sound fascinating?
Yeah.
Yeah, if you don't know Catch-22, I have no idea how they're actually going to adapt it in any way. It's a classic satire novel, but it's really based in words and it's really based on the page, but it does look exciting. It's coming out May 17th on Hulu, and as you mentioned, you got George Clooney in it. He's also executive producing. Kyle Chandler from Friday Night Lights is in it, and a bunch of other guys, and it looks really good. So we'll see.
Didn't we all have to read that book in high school?
Yeah, Joseph Heller, is that who wrote that?
And then we all say, it's a Catch-22 situation. Right. Everyone says that. I used it yesterday.
If you say it, you have to watch
yeah.
it. It only makes sense. About a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, it was announced that Martin Scorsese and I think Leonardo DiCaprio had purchased the rights to Devil in White City. Now it looks like instead of making it into a theatrical movie, it may go the TV route. Do you know anything about this?
Yeah, it is, in fact. Like you said, I mean, I think you summed it up really nicely, but they've been working on it for a really, really long time. People have been asking about the movie adaptation forever. And finally, they're determining that it's going to go to Hulu, which is great. Hulu making a really big move, certainly getting Leonardo DiCaprio and Martin Scorsese on series is a big move for them that goes where Netflix has been the dominant service in the space. It should be exciting to see what they do with it. I don't expect Leonardo DiCaprio to be in it the way that he was in the movie,
yeah.
but they're both going to be pushing pretty hard behind the scenes.
Can't wait. That'll be wonderful.
Sounds cool.
Alex, thanks so much for your time. Hope you have a great weekend, and we appreciate you being here. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Alexander Zalbin, the managing editor of Decider.com. Really great website if you're a fan of TV. We'll take a little break, get you some news, and then there's more show ahead. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. I want to see if Eric Rung will do a tape for me, wishing you a happy birthday or something. Eric, were you listening earlier? We were talking about this service called Cameo where you get celebrities to record announcements for you.
Well, I think celebrities would be a huge stretch for
you're
me.
You're a celebrity.
But I would be happy to do it
would
for you.
Would you do it for me?
Absolutely.
What's your asking price?
$200,000.
Yeah, that's about right. That's what I imagined. All right. We have a deal. A gentleman's agreement.
I like it.
Here, Wendy, do you have time for a heartwarming story? Are you in the mood for, I don't know if you have time for
a nice, I mean, on this
good deed,
you know, day after Valentine's Day,
yeah.
having enough romance to last me for a year.
I can imagine. Here's the story. This is out of a place in Kansas that I'm not familiar with. I think it's called Olathe, Kansas, O-L-A-T-H-E. Olathe? Was that how you'd say that? Three Kansas middle school students made sure that every girl and woman at their school received a special Valentine on Thursday.
Aww.
According to KMBC, three boys, eighth grader Tristan Valentine.
That's his name.
Seventh grader Cayenne Rice, which I've had, but it's too spicy for me. It's way too spicy. And then sixth grader Lincoln Holmes.
Don't encourage him, Pam.
Used their own money to purchase flowers for all 270 girls and 70 female staff members at their middle school. That's a grand total of 340
wow.
people. They reportedly spent hundreds of dollars on these purchases. The boys allegedly arrived. I like that they still say allegedly. Let's just assume it happened. The boys arrived at school early on Thursday with buckets of carnations. They stood by the school's entrance and passed by flowers to every female in the building and wish them a happy Valentine's Day. We wanted every girl to feel important and special on Valentine's Day, Valentine told KMBC. We worked hard to make sure that it was going to be a surprise to everybody. I only told a few friends, and the girls seemed surprised and happy. According to KMBC, other middle school boys told Valentine Rice and Holmes they wished that they had thought of the idea. One boy even tried to purchase a flower from them. Summit Trails is a special school, Holmes told the news outlet, and who knows, maybe we started a new tradition here. That's the nicest thing in the world.
It's pretty sweet.
So three kids, let's see, if you're in 7th or 6th grade, you're probably 12 years old.
Mm-hmm.
That says a lot about kids to go, I'm going to make every girl at the school feel special, go out of my way, buy them something. They spend hundreds of dollars.
Although, what about the boys?
It's kind of, I know that's legit.
I'm serious.
But it's kind of a girl's holiday, isn't it? It is, isn't it?
Well, I don't really celebrate it.
It's not, you don't think it is?
No, I think everybody has to participate or it's no fun.
Well, but the guy's participation, like for me, the thrill that I got out of it was seeing that my wife was happy with what I got. That's all I needed.
So sweet.
Although she did get me toffee pretzels, which were also very delicious.
I didn't get Jim anything.
Zero. But isn't that normally?
No.
No? You normally do?
I was watching one kid who was in the orchestra pit of a play, so I went and watched a play.
Yeah.
Jim stayed home with Dylan and ordered heart-shaped Lou Malnati's, so that's what they did.
Yeah.
But then I realized this morning there were no Valentines exchanged, because we just treated it like any other day.
Did you feel like you missed out on something or not?
No, and again, it's because my birthday was 2 days earlier.
Yeah.
So I feel like, you know, we've already done our celebrating.
Right.
And we need to delay this. We are going to go out for my birthday / Valentine's Day because we couldn't get everybody together last night.
What is a reasonable period by which you can make good on this? Is it this weekend? Next weekend? Sometime before the 4th of July?
What is the time limit? Again, you're so black and white, there are gray areas.
I'm afraid that time will pass and people will forget about the 1-2 punch of your birthday and Valentine's Day.
What do you care?
I don't want that to happen. You get your due. You deserve something.
What are you going to get her?
Oh, I'm not in the equation, Pam. Thanks for asking.
Oh, just thinking.
It's not for me.
Thinking ahead.
It's up to those closest to you.
Can I outsweet your story?
Yeah, what do you got?
I got, should we take a break?
Yeah.
And then come back and I'll share this with you.
Yes.
This is another Valentine's Day story that I saw that I kind of forgot to mention yesterday. But it still holds true, and maybe we'll give people an idea for next year.
It's a great idea. Okay, that's coming up next. Stick around. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
We were talking about Valentine's Day. It's Bill. It's Wendy. It's 720 WGN. And you had said this nice little story where some boys helped make every girl feel special by giving them all a Valentine.
Three boys in Kansas, young kids, an 8th grader, a 7th grader, and a 6th grader.
Walk into a bar.
They spent their own money to make sure that every single girl and female staff member at their school got something for Valentine's Day. They purchased flowers for them, hundreds of dollars worth of flowers. Everybody got something. Everybody was happy. How about that?
How about that?
Nice of them.
Now, you got
some
toffee pretzels from your wife, and you, of course, went in advance and bought her flowers and candy.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't exchange anything with my husband, and I feel a little bad about it, but Drew, maybe we're in the same boat. We just had a birthday, right? Yours is today?
Yeah.
Happy birthday.
Happy belated, Wendy.
Thank you.
Mine is today, and, you know, I always feel a little bad complaining. You know, people have birthdays around Christmas and New Year's, and it's a little different. But, you know, I want to have a special day, too. And Valentine's Day is kind of getting up on that a little bit.
Will there be something this weekend to celebrate either or both of those days or not? Will it be forgotten?
Bill is the time police. I want to make sure
everyone's covered.
Well, it is also National Margarita Day, so I think we're going to be celebrating that as well.
Oh, that's today? Yeah.
That is today, I believe.
All right. This is when we're going to celebrate
Pam
tonight.
Perked up. Did you hear Pam in the newsroom?
Yes, I am down.
Yes. All right. National Margarita Day. Well, happy birthday / National Margarita Day, Drew.
Thanks, guys.
What better day to have your birthday on than that?
All right. Well, that's what I will make up for Valentine's Day tonight.
With some margaritas.
Yes, nice. Absolutely. Here's another sweet story. And I actually thought of you for some reason when I heard this yesterday.
Because it's a sweet story. It makes sense.
A devoted husband is celebrating Valentine's Day, and he did this. He sends his wife the same card each and every year and has done it for 40 years. It's the same. It's kind of an ugly card.
Mm.
It looks like those precious moment-y kind of thing.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of.
Yeah.
Happy Valentine's Day to my wife. And each and every year, he has been sending this to her, and there's a new code in there that she has to figure out that has, like, a love message.
A code?
It's a
code.
What
does that mean?
All right, well, here's what I'll tell you. Ken Myers, a self-confessed romantic, began his unique way of saying I love you back in 1979. This was 6 years after he married his sweetheart, Valerie. They had been married.
Yeah.
The 78-year-old novelist writes a new message inside the card every year. It's the same card, so he must have purchased hundreds of them.
So he
adds to it, yes.
Okay, it's the same physical card,
yes.
Not the same type of card.
It's now full of little coded love notes from the past four decades.
Oh, wow.
He created the romantic card himself. He used to work as a card designer back in the 70s.
How is there still space on it with all those years?
I will show you.
You know how, like, on the Stanley Cup, they're kind of out of room for more names? Isn't it like that?
I will show you. He just, it's like one line, and it's a code. Although, I've been looking at this. Like, here's a code from 2012. Tooth, how, sand, ant, well, vans, till, tug, heather.
Oh, this man's not right.
But there's Something's wrong. Of code she has to figure out. Like, I don't know, do you take an O out of everything? I do like codes. I do.
Is he the Riddler?
No.
Why is he doing this?
Because he loves her, and he's been doing it every year for 40 years. He writes under the name Ken McCoy. He has had 27 romantic and crime novels published, all set in Leeds in the 1940s and 50s. His card, which reads, "Happy Valentine's Day to my wife," shows a boy offering his beloved a heart tied to a catapult. On the inside, he's written his wife a new love note every year in code that Valerie has to decipher each time. But it doesn't tell us what any of the deciphered is.
That's the most important part of the story.
But see, I would enjoy that. It would be. I love the jumbles.
So Jimmy writes you. He sends you a Valentine, and on the Valentine it says duck puddle dice monocle cheese whiz. You and then you go, this is the guy.
Well,
this guy's great.
If he did it every year for 40 years, I would really think he loved me, or trying to drive me nuts.
I can't figure out what you from what you said what that could possibly mean. And it changes every year. Code changes
each year. He writes a different sentence, and I'll show it to you. He just writes it very small, so it's been filling up the card for 40 years.
Right,
but like 2008.
Are his books also written with the same kind of
no?
Good. That's better for sales, I think.
2008, velour ease, mile eye, fanned milk ice.
All right, well, that one's obvious. But the other one you read, I don't understand at all.
2000 and well. 2000.
Oh, you're on. Look at you.
Well, Vans Till.
Oh.
Valentine. Tug. See?
Wow. Wendy. This is like watching Sherlock Holmes on his best day.
Tooth house hand.
Tooth house hand. Right? You're getting it.
I sound like a computer. Tooth house hand.
Yeah.
Tooth house ant well vans till tug heather.
And that doesn't mean anything.
Something about being together. Tug heather.
Together, yes.
Tug heather.
Yes.
Dude, I am figuring this out.
That's excellent. Wow. You are Scotland Yard. Are they all like that? Are they all words that when you say them at a different pace, they mean something? Or does that change all the time?
They all look pretty similar in the same thing.
Do another one. See if they all fit that one.
We'll be tug heather. We'll be together. Till diapers do part.
Till death does us part. Right? I'm translating English into English. That's my skill set. Somebody who speaks English, I can translate them into English.
But I don't know if it's till death. Because it's Tilled Eifers Dudart.
Till Diefers Dudart? Camp Town ladies sing this song? Dudart, Dudart.
Dudart.
He's a crime novelist who dabbles in Broadway musicals.
All right. I set you up with the tooth house hand.
Yeah, you did. No, you get total credit on that.
All right. That's all I want.
But I just wonder if that's his game every year, is that he always does words that when you sound it out slower or faster, they pay off in a sentence. Because if that's what it is, brilliant.
Doesn't seem tomb in
it. It doesn't seem 2 minutes.
See, now I've totally cracked the code.
Yes, you have. Since I've.
It's funny.
Yeah. Yes. Right. I feel so, again, for anyone who's just tuning in and hearing this, what are they making of it?
All right. This guy for 40 years has sent his wife a code. Okay. Doesn't seem 2 minutes since I's entered.
It doesn't seem like 2 minutes since you've entered.
After. Tomb I super lander.
to something about Tom Verlander.
Or to see Zoolander.
Go see Zoolander. That was the year that Zoolander came out.
I have cracked the code. That's all I got to say.
That was very impressive.
Thank you very much.
Wow.
And they're still together, and the wife says, Ken is a very romantic
husband.
What
if the wife said, I wish he would stop this nonsense?
He's a jerk. No. Ken is a very romantic husband. After 45 years of marriage, those little touches definitely help to keep the magic alive. Oh. I think the secret to a long and happy marriage is to be friends. When the first flushes of love disappear, you have to like each other a lot. We make each other laugh.
You know what I like about her? She speaks in full sentences. You don't have to sound it out word by word, letter by letter.
Here's where it gets sad.
Oh, no, don't.
My health has deteriorated in the past couple of years, and Ken has been a tower of strength.
Oh.
He's absolutely brilliant. He does everything, cooks and cleans, and he never grumbles. I really struck gold when I met Ken.
Well, maybe he is grumbling, and she just can't crack the code. Oh, I don't want the part about her being sick. That's not good.
Yeah, that isn't good.
Take that part out.
I got to go through each and every one of these and try and decipher ever all the codes. This is just valor, ease, mile, I fanned my soul. Fanned my soul.
Yeah. See? That one's a little harder to decipher.
I can't. These are too written some too lightly.
Are, yeah.
But,
are some of them a little adult in nature? Do one of those.
I don't think so.
No?
I think they're all like just these sickeningly sweet little things done in code.
Oh, maybe.
But sweet.
Very sweet. Extremely sweet. All right. Why don't we do this? We'll take a little bit of a break. We'll check in with Steve and find out what's coming up on the business on the Wintrust Business Lunch. If you want, Wendy and I have another hour in us. I do. Do you?
Yeah.
Do another hour? We'll be on for the bonus hour, the stream of consciousness that's online only. Go to WGNradio.com. Find out how to hook yourself up with that. It's a lot of fun.
It's tooth, house, hand, ant.
Yes. We speak like that for the full hour.
We
only do two minutes worth of stuff, but it takes us an hour to say. Coming up, the stories that matter with Eric Rung from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio.